So tonight, we sang this song and took a miracle. The last verse goes this way. The Bible tells us of his power and wisdom all way through. And every little bird and flower are testimonies too. Any ideas what we're going to talk about tonight from Jesus' teachings? Little birds and flowers. So turn to Luke chapter 12 and just enjoy that with me, as I love to see how God connects these thoughts for us. In Luke chapter 12, every little bird and flower are testimonies too. So often when I've come across this passage, I have been just captured with one of the main thoughts is don't worry. But yet there is another incredible truth that we will see tonight, and that is how God uses what he has made to cause us to know him more. And he does this regularly throughout the Bible. He uses his creation, his creative works, to point us to him, or to help us see some characteristic or his glory. He did that with Job, right? I mean, you go through the entire book of Job, and it's this back and forth between Job and his friends, and finally you get to the point where his friends are quiet, and God comes in a storm, a whirlwind. And then God begins to just say, Job, who made this and who made that? And look at the behemoth and look at the Leviathan. And who can handle them? No one but me, but God. And God has a way of doing that because, well, first, he can, right? He is the creator. He is the maker. He is the sovereign. So here we have Jesus, and he's got a great crowd in front of him, and he has just shared a parable dealing with covetousness. And so last week we dealt with covetousness and greed, and we interacted on that level of dealing with money and those kinds of things. It was the parable of that foolish rich man who had abundance come in, a great harvest, and he said, look at all that I have. I'm going to tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and I'm going to take a rest. And then God says to him, verse 20, thou fool, this night, I'm in Luke 12, 20, thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of you, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he, verse 21, so is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So Luke continues now, and Jesus says to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That word is also the word that is translated soul in the parable. All right, so that there's a link here. And you can see the link between the parable that Jesus has just shared and now his instructions to his disciples. And this is a pattern we're seeing in Jesus' ministry. He will give a teaching, he will give a parable, and then he will turn to his disciples, which they're learners. They're the pupils. They're the ones who are leaning in. They're not just the ones that are standing around curious. No, the disciples are the ones who lean in. They want to hear it. They want to learn it. And so Jesus is now saying to his disciples, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, your soul, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than food, and the body is more than raiment or clothing. Take no thought. Other translations would say, don't be anxious. Do not be anxious. Do not worry for your life or for your soul. You notice that this rich man in the parable that Jesus just shared was interacting or saying, I will say to my soul. Same word. Soul, you have much goods laid up. He was very much concerned about his soul. And Jesus wants his followers and his disciples and us today to not worry about our soul and what we shall eat, or neither for your body what you shall put on. Now let's think about this. What you eat, your food, and your clothing are basic necessities of life. We know that God wants us to be clothed. He clothed Adam and Eve. And so there's that principle that you gather from the very beginning in Genesis, that clothing is a basic necessity of life. You also realize and understand that we need food. And we recognize that even in the curse, man was required now to work, not just to thrive and to enjoy life, but simply just to survive. You sweat it out. You deal with the weeds and the thorns for your own food. But Jesus here is saying, listen, you don't take any thought, you don't be anxious and worry about what you shall eat or what you shall put on, because life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. Now, notice, consider, we're going to see this twice, verse 24, and we see it in verse 27. When you consider something, what do? You think about it. Any other thoughts when you consider something? There's a meditation, or meditate on it. What happened? Okay, so Sunday school teacher, student, I could expect that, yes. So there's this deep thought, looking at the angles, putting these things together. Notice that Jesus says to his followers, consider the ravens. Now, the ravens, and you know, they're a pretty incredible bird, very, very intelligent creature. But they're a bird, winged creature. And Jesus directs, in this time of teaching, he directs his disciples to consider these birds, these ravens. Now, you know, in some senses, we could say, Jesus, you're taking up precious time here to direct our attention to these birds. Why? These are birds. Let's talk about us, right? Or let's talk about something that's No, listen, Jesus, there's a method here. There's a purpose here. And I believe this is so crucial to helping us get over ourselves and our worry and anxiety. I'm preaching here to myself. You know, this is big in my life, a huge struggle for me. You know what? Instead of considering these things that I do not have or cannot control, let's consider what God has done and what God has made and how God interacts with those things and cares for them. So consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Now we might step back and say, yeah, that's pretty obvious, but have you ever sat back and thought through that process? We're talking about birds. We have birds all over the place. Lots of different birds. And somehow the birds survive. Right. How is that possible? How do these small, little, gentle, delicate creatures, a lot of them, ravens not so much, but yet nevertheless, they're small. And how is it that they can survive? Jesus says it here. God feeds them. God feeds them. Huh. How much more. That's a key phrase for us as Christians to embrace about our relationship with God. How much more? Right? And this is what Jesus wants his disciples to get. He wants them to get the chills down their spine as they think about who they are and who their God is, and saying, how much more are you better, of greater value than the birds? And yet you are worrying about these things. You know what? We need to remember that according to God's value system, we are priority. You see that from the get-go, because in Genesis chapter 2, there is a look at day 6 of creation and a focus in on what? What creature that God made? It's not the lion. Sorry, folks, those of you who love lions. It's not the dinosaur. It's not some bird. It is man and woman. And man and woman are the ones who are made in the image of God. No other creature, no other creature shares that identity. But man and woman, human beings, who are made in the image of God. So you consider the ravens. God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls, the birds? According to God's value system, you are the priority. How does this help us with worry? How does this confront the anxious thoughts that we carry with us so often? Well, what we see here is we see a confrontation between these anxieties, these thoughts that get us so wrapped up in ourselves and what we have or don't have, the problems we have or the things that we don't have that we want and we think we need. And it takes us and says, boom, look up. Boom, look up, consider the ravens. Okay? These are birds, they're flying around. God takes care of them. God feeds them. Now do a comparison in the sight of God. Where do you rate? Where's the birds rate? What does that do? It puts us in our place and it propels us to worship. So, which of you, verse 25, which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Oh, if that was only possible. I don't understand. The diet must have changed in my family after me. Because if you've met my two brothers, they tower over me. Has there been times I wish I was taller? Sure. What young boy hasn't? But you know what? And I know this is just maybe a small little petty thing, and maybe it doesn't apply to you, but Jesus is saying here, this is, you just want to add a few inches or 18 inches of a cubit, so that's a pretty good height increase. You want to add that to your stature. And verse 26, if then you be not able to do that which is least, that's just a small thing, why take you thought for the rest of things in life? Take thought, anxiety, worry, all these, this time and digestion of these issues in life. If you cannot just do these small things yourself, why toil in all of these other areas? So verse 27, then we see the word consider again. You know, so I'm learning here myself, as I deal with anxiety, one of the things, one of the tools that will help me in my life and will help you in your life is taking time to consider. And that is not to just consider more and more, chewing on these, what I shall wear or what I shall eat or how can I accomplish this or get out of this, but consider what God has made and done. Jesus says in verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. Flowers are an amazing creation of God. I don't take the time to fully appreciate, I don't know if anybody does, fully appreciate the beauty of God's creation. And this is a cursed world. It's sick, right? Sick with sin. And yet, the beauty. And flowers capture it so very well, right? You can look at a flower, and I've learned along the way, my marriage, that my wife appreciates flowers, and I've learned how to choose them. One of the things that my wife likes for roses is she likes that when the rose opens up large, it gets really big blooms. Now, I first started out getting the nice tight buds. They were like this, right? Because in my mind, that's neat, right? It's kind of tight, neat. It's like practical thinking in my part. It's not going to fall apart. It's holding together. You know what happens, though? By the time that you get them in the vase and they last, you know, what, a week? They open up like this. And they're like that. And maybe some of you like that kind of rose. But my wife likes whoosh, roses, right? Like boom, big ones. And so I've learned to get, when I go to the store, to look for the roses that are already just a little bit open. Not tight, but open. Because we get them home and we get them in the vase, and 2 days later, they're beautifully large. And she likes that. Well, who tells the flower to expand and to show its full spread of petals and color? Who tells the stem to carry the water up through and push those petals out? Who tells that seed to grow up into that certain deep crimson red or beautiful, delicate pink? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. You don't see them out there with pick and shovel scraping around the dirt at their bottom, at the stem, at the root, so they make sure they're growing. They don't do that. They don't toil. They don't spin. In other words, they don't make their own clothing. They don't make their own petals. They're not out there stitching up their petal for the day. No. And yet I say, Jesus says, I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon had the reputation of being the richest man. And he was known for the opulence. He just, what was it, silver and gold was like the stuff on the streets, right? And Jesus, using this comparison, says, listen, even Solomon, who had anything he ever wanted at his fingertips, all the weavers and the laborers to make him whatever garment he wanted in his household, doesn't even come close to comparing the way the lily, the flower, blooms. So, verse 28, we consider this. Yeah, that's right, right? Can we agree with that? There's nothing like that. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven. So, you know, these things don't last long. If God so clothes the grass, it's in the field and tomorrow it's cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So as I worry and become anxious about what I feel like I need in my life, how am I going to be clothed or meet these needs? Consider the lilies. And I know this is not just some whim of a thought. I take this pretty seriously, as Jesus is teaching a strategy and a purpose for these men in the way, these followers, in the way they ought to be thinking and not consumed with the things of the world and of this life, which they heard in this parable. They're so consumed with this man was so consumed with himself. But consider what God has made and how God fed the birds. He feeds the birds, how he clothes the flowers. That's how wonderful he is. And you are of more value. Think about this. Verse 29 now. So we've talked about consider. Consider the ravens, consider the lilies. Now you can add whatever you want in there. Those are two illustrations Jesus uses. But you might have some other things that you could consider and think about. Wow, God, this is what you do. How much more will you do in my life? Will you care in my life? Now we see seek. Verse 29, and seek not you what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be you of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he is confronting the tendency that we have to be anxious about the things of this world. He launches us into a consideration of the incredible creation that he has made, which is a regular thing he does in his word. I've already mentioned to you, we see that in the book of Job. We see that in the book of Psalms. The illustration I thought of was similar to what we heard this morning in our Sunday school hour about how the bird protects her young with her wings. Did you ever consider that? And if that's the way God does it in creation, and he made that to be, God designed that to be, think about how incredible the protection is of God and his wings. And the Psalms bring those things out. So, consider, and now seek. You seek not what you shall eat, what you shall drink. Don't be of a doubtful mind. Verse 29, I want to make a note on that word doubtful, that word doubtful mind. I found it interesting, and in the English it doesn't communicate quite clearly enough, I feel, the impetus, the push of this word. This is a word that speaks of a ship that is rising up on these waves in a storm. And it's that agitation and harassment that the ship feels in the storm. Is your mind ever in a storm? I know mine is at times. A ship up and down. You know, what other place do we see that illustration given. James chapter 1. Listen to what James writes in James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you consider what God has made and what God does. And now you seek, and you seek with faith, without doubt. Well, Jesus makes the point in verse 30, all the nations of the world seek after the basic necessities of life. Ethnos, all the nations of the world. Jesus, let's remember, he's talking, he's in Israel, he's talking to Jewish people, and he says, all the nations, they seek after these things. But your Father, and that's a significant point here in this context. He's talking to Jewish people, and he's saying, now listen, your Father, because listen, the Jewish people are the one to whom God appeared, and God led through the wilderness. God chose the Jewish nation. And he says, now your Father knows that you have need of these things. Listen, the nations who knew not God do not have the incredible benefit that you have. You have a Father who looks over you, and he knows what you need. So, verse 31, rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he says what we are to seek. He gives us consideration of what he has made. And now he says, listen, this is what you are to seek. And I admit, I understand, God, that I'm not supposed to worry about this situation. But you know, if you don't have something to replace it with, if you don't have an action to put there, you just keep on doing it, right? I mean, you ever been there laying in bed at night and you're trying to go to sleep and you just go at it from this angle and you go at it from this angle and you're looking up from this way and you're looking down from this way and you're trying to solve these issues. What do I do to get out of that vicious cycle? And that's what I love about Jesus here. He's giving us something to do. Consider these things. Let your mind twirl around these truths. And then seek. Get your mind off of you and your kingdom and all, how much you have, and you tear down your barns and build bigger ones and just take it easy. No, get your mind off you and seek the kingdom of God. How can my life contribute to the work of God? How can these energies and these thoughts that I have been so wrong in spending and investing in, how can I now take that energy and invest it in eternal truths? Well, you seek after the kingdom of God. And Jesus, according to the scriptures, we can see it here, all these things shall be added unto you. What is he saying? You do not need to be anxious anymore when you're seeking after his kingdom. So don't fear, little flock. Oh, what tender words. Don't fear, little flock. Isn't it precious to hear the good shepherd say such things? You like to be a part of his little flock? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He tells you what to consider. He tells you what to seek. And he tells us that the Father, it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He tells us that our Father's good. So what you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so we wrap up this evening with that application. In the context of seeking the kingdom of God, we do not need to be afraid. It's the good pleasure of God to give you that kingdom, to give him, to give you his kingdom, so you can sell what you have. You can give to the poor. He says to his disciples, provide yourselves bags which do not wax old. The imagery here of what a treasure in heaven is compared to a treasure upon the earth. It's almost like, and this pales in comparison, but if I had one of those cheap plastic grocery bags and I took my wife's engagement diamond ring and I was trying to decide which bag is the safest and most precious place I can place that. And so often we will take what is and pursue things in this plastic grocery bag that too often they have the holes in already when you get them. And they fall apart and they lack the constitution to hold and protect for very long. And when it's compared to a strong leather pouch that was carefully sewn. He says here, listen, provide yourselves bags which do not wax old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where is your heart tonight? Where's my heart? Well, where's my treasure? Right? How do I discern where my heart is? I discern where my heart is by figuring out where my treasure is. Where's my treasure? So, the message tonight is more than just don't worry. The message is, what do we do when we're tempted to worry? How can we take and get out of that vicious cycle so that our life is productive for the kingdom? Consider what God has made and let them propel you to your value in his sight and how he meets the needs of them. He will meet the needs of you. Seek after his kingdom. And as you seek after his kingdom, you can do so with faith, not doubting like a ship tossed to and fro. And don't fear, little flock. Remember those words. Fear not, little flock. So where is your treasure? Because where your treasure is, where you find your treasure, where you are amassing energies and wealth or thoughts, time, that's your heart. That's where your heart is. That's convicting, isn't it? But it's the teachings of Jesus to help us, not beat us down. He's helping his disciples and preparing them. And you know what comes next? In the same context, is he's preparing them because soon He's going to come back again as king. And he wants them to be ready. So Lord, thank you for the teaching and helping us to see through so often what consumes us, these worries and anxieties of life. Thank you for how you prepare your disciples and you're preparing us for the challenges we do face, we know we will face in life. And I praise you, Lord, for going with us even now. The word has gone forth and Lord, it will stay with us. And I pray that it will live within us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.